Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. I'd like to say good evening and welcome. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. I know you've heard that over and over again, so we always like to say thank you for being a part of this hour. As we move forward on our agenda, I want to ask Dr. Suzanne if she would start us off in prayer. If you have anyone that you would like to add on your prayer list before she prays, Would you please do so, please, ma'am, please, sir? We'd definitely like to add Pastor Miles on our list, our prayer list for this evening. And if there are others that you would like to name publicly and privately, you can do so at this time. Amen. Dr. Sudan?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here and joining us this evening. Father God, we praise your name and we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for another day, for another time for us to come together and to seek your word, to pray, to ask for guidance, support one another. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have in this Bible study, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for all of the relationships in the Bible study. You know, the brothers and sisters that are close by, those that are distant or yet close at heart. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for all of the prayers that have been answered, Father God. And we submit these prayers to you this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we will learn to give praise reports about your goodness and all the things that you've done, because you're such a good God. We praise you. Father God, we lift up many people for healing this evening, yes. Father God. We've gotten many reports, and there's some names I will name, but there are others as well, Father God. Seeking prayer, Father God, for physical healing, Father God, for they receive reports from the doctor or that don't line up.
Yes.
Some believe that they're a curse without a cause, that it just doesn't line up. So we ask you, Lord, to just bless those folks. We ask you, Lord, for not only physical healing, but also healing of the emotions and the mental peace, Father God, that is important as well for those that may be sad during this holiday season, Father God, those who have experienced loss and disappointment, Father God, those who not only those that are physically ill, Father God, but those that are emotionally ill and not at ease. We thank you, Lord, that they too, Father God, are covered by the blood and under those stripes that were shed on Calvary, Father God. We ask you, Lord, for healing of those who are having financial issues, Father God, that their finances be redeemed, Father God, that they will see and adhere to the Holy Spirit's guide on his spirit. Redeeming an income, Father God, and healing takes place, Father God, financially as well. We have some healing for relationships, for those relationships, for marriages, Father God, for relationships within the family, the in-laws, Father God, those that used to be married are outlaws, Father God, for the relationship between mother and child, father and child, Father God, between siblings, Father God, cousins, Father God, at the workplace, dear Lord, relationships, that those relationships are healed as well. Now, as far as the names, dear Lord, we lift up Norman and Diane, we lift up Luke Smithy, we lift up Bonnie, we lift up Leroy, Lauren, Alicia. We ask for special blessing and protection from the trees.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for Sabrina. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Jim and Betsy. For Dwayne, for Pastor Miles, those that need healing for as they mourn the loss of a loved one, Father God, for Bishop Larry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that the word will go forth this evening, Father God, that it will land on fertile ground, Father God, that all hearts and minds are open to receive, Father God, that they, Father God, will process what's being said this evening, Father God, and that they will glean what you desire for them to glean from it. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, we praise you and we thank you, and we're ready to study. Amen.
One of the members of Blog Talk Radio I would like to also add, to go by the name of Booby, from out of California or New York, one or the other, who has passed on, gone along this morning. So we'd like to definitely submit his name as well. So, yeah. For those of you who are listening by internet, we are an interactive ministry. And what does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity of calling in to participate. If you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. If you'd like to participate on the Zoom number is 505-563-6808, and the password is Psalm 23. It's 505-563-6808. The password is Psalm 23. And if you would like to share this with someone later on, the Zoom number, if you'd like to share that, you can go into Blog Talk Radio to archives, and there's Blog Talk Radio, and they type in We and Begin Again. You can pull up this message as well as any of the other messages that we've had, and there are hundreds on there that you can pull up with so many dynamics. Speakers that have a word from the Lord. We have so many, we're thankful to have so many pastors, ministers, lay people that come on to proclaim the word of God. And we're thankful for those who are just, you know, studying to come forth to share with the Lord's people. We are thankful for that. As we move forward, we're going to go into the book of Ruth. I don't know why the Lord led me there, but the book of Ruth, and we are going through the book of Ruth 1, 6 through 18, and then we're going to go through 22. I will read the scripture, and then we'll just kind of break it down, and I may just, you know, open it up for it to ask for questions, and if you have done the book of Ruth and done a study, if you'd like to share your knowledge of information with our family, we do welcome your comments. Everything has been recorded, so you will hear everything in the archive. You can put it in the archive right after finishing. And it reads, the book is the Faith of Ruth, and my subtitle is Faith Untested is Unproven. Faith Untested is Unproven, and it's coming from the book of Ruth. Then Naomi started to return with her daughter-in-law from the country of Moab, and she had learned in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-laws, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grants that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought that there was hope for me, and even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marriage? No, my brothers, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. And they wept aloud. Opened this, the mother-in-law, but Ruth hung close to her. But she said, see, your sister has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. And I want you to focus on this. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well. If even death parts me and you, when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So Naomi returned with Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, when we look at this scripture, and when I did the study, looking at it, and I'd like to remember that God claims, I'm talking about you and I as well, God claims, equips, and empowers all people for the lives of faith. And here Ruth is showing she was a Moabite, and she was leaving her country to travel a journey. It's not only she a beloved child of God, but she is through which God is glorified. Think of you and I in terms of when we read this story. And when we go through it, reads out, we look at Ruth 1 through 16, 13, when we look at it, we see that there's grief. There's grief because Ruth had asked them to turn back and do not go with it. One decided to go back. Orpah, she had lost her husband. Naomi had lost her husband and her two sons. And all of them had grief because of that. Because, again, Ruth and Orpah had lost their husbands. There was a famine. So they had lost their husbands. And Naomi had lost her husband and her two sons. So Ruth decided that she would not stay there any longer. And Moab, during that time, the reason that she had lost her husband and her sons, and the others had lost their husbands, because there was a famine during that time. There was a famine at that time, and many were lost because of that. Their security and their future had been lost. Could you imagine a famine and you're losing your loved ones through the famine and you survived? See, these three women, they were during this time in a precarious position. They were in an unusual position. And there was a rumor that Ruth had heard that God had provided a bountiful harvest in Bethlehem. And Ruth was determined to get there. She was determined to travel a journey that she had no direction. She didn't know which. All she knew was that there was harvest. There was a harvest there. She wanted to leave the famine. She she wanted to leave the death and pestilence, all that was occurring during that time, and she decided that she was going to leave. Faith untested is unproven. Faith untested is unproven. See, during this time, think about it, these women had to make a choice. They had to make a serious choice. And their choice would they choose a future with Naomi? And this was out of safety net. And when it says without a safety net, what the author was saying without a safety net was they had no hope. There was no future. They didn't know where they were going. They were just going to travel with her on this long journey to find Bethlehem. Or the other choice would they return to their families with no hope for children. They had lost their husband. Would they be welcomed back again? Because they had left. They had left their country to go to another. And would they be welcomed? Would they be welcomed where they were going? They were going to Bethlehem, a place that had never been before. Would they be welcomed? And when I look at this, I always try to challenge those that I'm speaking to. Even though that these are examples that we're reading from a biblical perspective, God is giving you and I a blueprint of how life could be. And if life was set upon you and I, and we had to make a choice, what would our mindset be? Would we choose to trust God, or would we choose to trust the situation that we were going through? And oftentimes we go through situations in our lives, we have challenges in our lives, and you know, when we start talking about a place that has never been a place that we have never been before. Dark places, grief. Lack of clothing, lack of housing, lack of finances, lack thereof. How do we respond? God has placed you and I in situations where we may not experience that. We may have experienced it at one time growing up. But God brought you and I through it. And if he brought you and I through it at that time, during that time when we were coming up, or even the time that you may be going through it now, he'll do it again. You see, God is faithful. God is faithful. He is a faithful God. Faith untested is unproven. If we have a faith that has never been tested, then how do we know that we have faith? If we have a faith that has never been tested, then how can we prove that God is who he is? That we can depend on God in whatever situation that we're in. That we can move forward into unknown territory that we've never been, and know that God is going to equip you and I to get through it. He's going to equip you and I. He's going to empower you and I to be able to make it through, no matter what the challenges are, no matter what the domain may look like, the surface may be just be dry. We may be leaving a desert of knowing that when we leave this place that we're going to a place that's going to give you and I what we need. Survive on what we need, that God is going to have something greater. But we choose to move forward by faith. A faith untested is unproven. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? That means that we don't look at our situations when they're just good. We have to look at our situations when they are challenged. We have to look at our situation when we don't know if it's going to work out. And we have to rely on our faith. A faith untested is unproven. Let's move on. And please, if you have any comments, please, I have all mics on. You're welcome to share your comments with that. We go, we look at Ruth 14 through 22. Here, Ruth is where Ruth and Orpah path, their path is, you know, or they come into a path where they begin to start to determine what direction that they're going to go. Although there was much weeping from both of them, they have to make a decision. They have to be determined whether they're going to return to their family in Moab, or on the other hand, are they going to choose to stay with Naomi, but commit her whole self, her whole physical well-being to a relationship with Naomi. That means that they had to, if they're going to go with Naomi, and I would look at it as being a vision that she had of something better, something greater. They're going to choose to rely on the vision that she had. Were they going to stick with it? In order to do that, they had to commit themselves. They had to commit themselves physically and spiritually to a relationship. And God chooses, when I look at this, God looks, he shows us where Naomi had a vision. And I look at the vision at this time, the vision that they were going through. I mean, the vision that Naomi had of going to Bethlehem, a place that was better than what they were leaving, a place where there was going to be a harvest, a place where they knew that they could eat. It was their family, a place where they knew that you would eat, a place I would call a place of milk and honey. It was a place that they had just heard about. It was just a room. But think about how God is with you and I. And I think in terms of how they had to, and Ruth, remember, Ruth was the one that stuck with it. Ruth was the one that stuck with it. And in order, if we're going to follow Christ, we're going to follow God, that means that we have to commit to God wholeheartedly. We have to commit ourselves fully, physically, with our well-being, as well as our relationship. We have to commit, and that's what God wants you and I. This is just an example of what they were going through. And in order for Ruth to stick with Naomi, she has to commit totally. In order for you and I to say that we are believers, that we are of the faith, and that we believe in God, that means that we have to believe Him with our whole heart, with our whole mind, and our whole spirit. We have to commit wholeheartedly, commit your whole self, physically, spiritually, and to a relationship with God and only God. And when that relationship is established, God will do amazing things for you and through you. This is just an example, again, a story. But that story resonates into our life. It tells a story of how we are to respond to the God that we say that we serve. It's a commitment. And when we choose to commit ourselves to God and God only, then God will show us things that we've never seen. Naomi had a vision. She heard a rumor, but she had a vision. And she believed that there was a place that was better than where they were living, a place that was standing, but they were going to a better place. God had a place for them, even though that they did not have a map at that time. They didn't have a road map. All she was doing was just getting, decided to travel, and it's almost like getting on the road and knowing that you're going to end up in a better place. Now, the doubter may get on the road and doubt, well, you know what, maybe this may it may not happen the way that I want it. I'm going to do this, but in the back of my mind, I'm doubting. And when you begin to start to doubt God, that means that you're leaving yourself room for failure. That if it does fail, I knew it wasn't going to work anyway. But when you commit yourself wholeheartedly to the God of gods, to the King of kings, to the Lord of lords, when you commit yourself spiritually and your well-being to a relationship with a God who says, I'll always be with you, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. See, our mind is not the mind of God. We can't understand his ways, nor can we understand his vision that he has for us. All we know is that when we commit ourselves to God, that God is faithful. A faith untested is a faith unproven. If you've never been tested, how do you know? How can you prove that your faith has a strong foundation? If you've never been tested, how would you ever know that God can do amazing things through you and for you? If you've never been tested, how do you know that where you are and where he's going to take you is going to be a better place? A place that's going to be a place of harvest to give you what you need, that's going to feed you with your heart's desires. How would you ever know if you've never been tested? See, God tests each and every one of us in different ways. We can't look to our left or to our right and compare it to what we've been going through. We have to look at where we are. Look at where we are. The Bible talks about that we are to keep our hands to the plow.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Keep your hands to the plow and looking forward for what's in front of you. See, when a farmer is plowing, he can't look back and see what's been done. He only needs, or she only needs, to look at what's in front of them, because that's the ground that needs to be plowed. That's terrain that needs to be broken up. And God has already prepared you and I that as we go forward by faith, that he's going to clear a path for you and I. He already has the path but always looking to the side to see what it looks like. Keep your eyes focused on God. Commit yourself whole self, physically, your well-being to God wholeheartedly, and let your relationship flourish with God and watch how he works. There's a story about Peter. Peter had a faith. When Jesus called him out of the boat to walk on the water, Jesus just said, come. And Peter came, like he does you and I. And Peter was walking on water because of his faith. The problem was when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to start to fear the circumstances, the situation. No man is supposed to do this. Walk on water. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, his faith diminished. And he began to sink. You and I, no matter what you're going through, I may be talking to you who's listening by internet. I may be talking to you who's listening by phone. I may be talking to you who's going to listen later on in the archives. A faith untested is unproven. If you are being tested, know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to bring you out. That God is going to do what he said he's going to do. You can believe it. Don't doubt God. You've heard the saying that we cannot straddle the fence. You can't be on one side, well, and, you know, let me determine which way I'm going to go. God wants you to surrender totally. Surrender wholeheartedly. Surrender your life to God. That means physically, spiritually, and with a relationship. What does it mean to be with a relationship? A relationship means that you spend time in the Word of God. A relationship means that you study his Word to understand who God is. That you understand what the Word says. And see, the Word of God, all it's going to do is just strengthen you when you're tested. Because when you're tested, that's what you're going to do. You're going to fall right back on the Word of God. A faith untested is a faith unproven. Keep your eyes focused on God. And see here, again, this is just a story, but it's an outline of how we are to respond. Naomi had a vision. You know, the Bible even says that without a vision, my people will perish. We have to have a vision for something better. We have to have a vision for something greater. We have to have a vision that's going to give you your heart's desire. I believe that I'm speaking to someone on this line right now who may be tested. I know I'm tested on a daily basis. On a daily basis. I know that you're tested on a daily basis. Why? Because of your relationship with God. See, when we're reading the Word of God, God is talking. God is speaking. He's speaking through his Word. He's speaking to you and I. He's telling you and I who he is. And you know, God has made it so simple that he even chose the book of rules of how we are to respond and what the outcome is going to be. God wants us to be faithful, and he is going to reveal his faithfulness to you and to me. Do you believe that God can get you out of the circumstances that you're going through? Do you believe that God can make a way out of no way? Do you believe that when you're tested, that it's a test of your faith? Do you believe that the challenges that come your way is not only happening to you, but it's happening to all faith believers? Do you believe that you can stand on his promises and believe his word? See, when God, when you're studying the word of God, God is talking and speaking to our spirit to strengthen you and us. And when we go down on our knees and we pray, then we're talking to God. It has to be a two-way relationship. You have to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Evidence of things unseen, that means that you cannot know, you can't understand. You can't see it. You can't touch it. But a faith believer, like Ruth, she knew it was there. She heard the rumor, and there was something in her spirit that made her believe that there was a better place than where she was living. You see, when we are tested and we are challenged, I see that sometimes it's a place of famine. A place of famine. A place that God wants to pull us out of. And what he does is he speaks to your spirit. He whispers in your ear at night when you're asleep. He talks to you through his word. God comes to us in many different forms and fashion. It might be through another person. You know, there's a saying that says, watch out who you entertain, because it might just be an angel that God has sent your way to pull you out of whatever you're going through. Faith untested is a faith unproven. So when you're tested, don't believe that woe is me. God testing you just to strengthen your faith so that he can get you where he wants you to be, to a place that's better than where you are, a place that's going to be a harvest where it meets your every needs, a place where you are depressed, where you can find joy, a place where you may be heartbroken, but he can mend your heart together. A place where your mind just might be deterred if you begin to start to doubt. And God wants your faith to be strengthened and remove the doubt and fill it with his love and confidence. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. When I say I, you can put your name in there. You can place your name in there. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If God is for me, then who can be against me? Greater is he that is in me than the world. There is going to be a challenge. And the book of Ruth gives us an example that says she made it. There was a rumor that there was a harvest in Bethlehem. She made it. She didn't know where she was going or how to get there, but God equipped her. He almost gave her a compass, put a compass in her mind, and she knew where she was going. I believe that it was the Holy Spirit that guided her in the right direction. How often do we listen to the Holy Spirit when it tries to get your attention? How often do we allow God to consume our whole being? How often do we just surrender to God and turn off the world, lay prostrate, and turn it over to God? Faith untested is a faith unproven. God wants to prove to the world that he is alive. God wants to prove to the world that if you only trust me, if you only believe me, I've said it to you over and over again when you read about me, when you studied me, when you proclaimed me. I've said it over and over again. And you still doubt me? You still are falling short? I've already told you what the outcome is going to be. The victory has already been won. The victory was won on the cross when I gave up my life because I believed in you. I believed in you, and I did not want to see you destroyed. I wanted to see you prosper. I wanted to see you have a better life. All you have to do is just trust me. Trust me with your whole heart. Trust me with your whole being. Trust our relationship when we come together. And I'm talking to you and you're talking. Trust it. If you only believe that I am. That I am. Again, Ruth is just a story that's told to us. But we have to look at the story that's being told and what the outcome was. It was victorious. It was victorious. A place of famine where they had lost everything. Their husband. Naomi's husband, her two sons, Ruth, her husband, Oprah, lost her husband. They lost everything. Now, we can interpret that in relationship to what we lost. Is there a loved one in your life that you lost? God wants to take you to a better place. God wants to take you to a place where there's a harvest, where you can feed on his word. God wants to take you to a place where you don't have to worry anymore. God wants to elevate you to a place above your imagination. If you only a faith untested is a faith unproven. We have to be tested. We're going to be tested. Jesus was tested on the cross. Jesus was tested on the cross for you and I. And he did not give up. He was tested, and he proved that the victory was won. The victory was won. Your victory has won. Just change your mindset. Hold on the promises of God. And I guarantee you, you can prove to the world that you've been tested, you've been tried, and now you can prove to the world without a shadow of a doubt your faith because of your faith. Amen. I'm going to open up the mics if there are any comments we'd like to share with our family. We're just a family, and we're just having a talk. We're just sharing our comments. We're just building up the body of Christ. That's the beauty of it. We come together to build up each other, not to tear down, to build up mankind, to build up those that God sent our way, no matter what they look like, no matter how they act, no matter what world they live in. They can look totally different from you. That doesn't mean that God won't work his aid in them. I mean, that does not mean it. We are to build one another. The kingdom builders.
Yeah.
That's what God has called you and I to do, to be kingdom builders. You see, because at the second coming, we just want to be in a place where we can say or feel that we have a right relationship with God. And God is going to look at you and I and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Any comments?
I appreciate the relationship of Ruth and Naomi. I love studying the book of Ruth. And I think that both of them saw that they needed each other, and both of them saw how they could be a blessing to each other. Just like us in the body. I believe that's one of the lessons to be learned is faithfulness and to be a blessing wherever you are, wherever you're planted.
Yes. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. Pastor, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, man. Good to be back on again tonight. But I just wanted to say to you and the rest, thank you for your thoughts and prayers, and to thank you for the encouraging word on faith. You know, at times, you know, our faith do waver a little bit, and sometimes we just don't know and we don't understand. But your message tonight has, and I can only speak for me, it has encouraged me to continue in my faith. Because, you know, even as pastors and preachers and ministers or whatever, sometimes, you know, our faith tank gets a little low. And
yes, sir.
We need a station such as yours, such as what you have spoke to us tonight, to fill us back up and to reassure us and to encourage us on our faith. So with that being said, Elvin, thank you for encouraging me to continue the faith.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Thank you so much for your comments. Amen. Is there another comment? Any other comments? Mine's open. All you have to do is just speak. See a lot of different states on here. Would you like to make a comment? Chicago? South Carolina? I'm a 517, but I don't know what area code that is. West Virginia? We got some quiet folks here this evening. It's okay.
Yeah.
Good evening, Pastor. This is Bishop Harris. I got on a little late, but I really enjoy what you were talking about. I think you brought out some very valid points, and I just love it whenever you're on. So it was just a blessing to be able to hear you this evening and to be able to hear how God used you. So I just want to say great job, Pastor. Great job.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Glory. Give God the glory. Any other comments before we come to a close? I'm going to ask Pastor Robinson.
Yes, sir.
As we come to a close, would you like to give an invitation to Christ, please, sir?
Those of us who are listening on tonight and heard the words of Elder Clay and how God has used him tonight, you know, the Bible says in the book of Ruth says, I will go where you go, and your God shall be my God, and your people shall be my people. This is a great opportunity right now to become a people of God, a child of God, to extend this invitation to each and every one of you tonight. Those of you who don't know Christ in the free pardon of your sins can become a friend of Christ, just as Ruth and Naomi were, with him, and be able to follow him and go where he goes, and be the same people as the followers of Christ is. So I invite you tonight to accept Christ tonight as your Lord and your Savior. And I promise you, things won't be gravy train, but it will make your faith stronger. It will make life a little bit easier for you. So I invite you tonight to come to Christ while you yet still have the opportunity to come. All you have to do is repeat the sinner's prayer.
Yes.
And just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short of your glory. But, Lord, I ask you tonight to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. I accept you tonight, Lord, as my Savior. And it don't take a whole lot of rim right. It don't take a whole lot of noise to just accept Christ. Just believe in God. Trust the fact that he raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
So the invitation is extended tonight to anyone who don't know Christ. whisper those words in your heart so they can reach the heart of God and accept Christ tonight. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Just because you're called to live, we love you.
I face the dawn.